Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I'm Leo.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Won't it, but yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
All right, listen, this is when we're going to take your calls. We're going to take your tweets. Let's get right to the phone calls. I want to go to Rob in Millbury. Rob, go ahead. You're on the baseball show. What do you got, pal?
Yeah, is this Lou?
Yeah.
Hi, Lou. Just a little disheartening here. Steve Pierce brought in Blake Swihart to the bench. Before that, Hanley was released. Blake Swihart asking to get traded, and Blake Swihart begging to get playing a freaking game, Lou, and all of a sudden Steve Pierce comes in and he's the freaking hallelujah. Give me a break. Let Blake play a little, will you?
I'd rather have Steve Pierce play than Blake Swihart. Are we debating this right now? I mean,
Pierce has a track record. He's also looked good since he's been here. And now Swihart does have a fifth of an opportunity with Vasquez on the team.
All right, let's go back to the phone calls. Let's go to Justin, who's in Lynn. Justin, go ahead, pal. You're on the baseball show.
Hi. I'd like to talk about Jackie Bradley Jr. continuing to struggle at the plate. Why is he still playing?
All right. I think we're getting pranked tonight, to be perfectly honest with you. Are we? Or no? Real?
Hi.
Hi, Lo. Just a little, Let's wait. Play a little, will you?
Hi.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tires Studios, 617-779-0985. So last night I'm sitting there, and Tracy Clemens, who fills in for Dan when she's gone, sends me a picture of Rich at Raw.
Yep. Went to WWE Raw last night. On a whim. On a whim.
And you saw Sarge?
So I was at home, and it was like around 7:30, and I saw somebody tweeting from Raw, and I'm like, I ain't got nothing to do tonight. I'm going to go down to Raw just to see what the hell's happening. So I went down there, and I asked him, I said, you know, what's the ticket I can get where I can get kind of up near the stage? Just like a single ticket. There's got to be something. They said, okay. So they gave me one. And by the way, those things pack the hell out. Like, it's like WWE Raw. So before I went in, I just went to the CVS across the street and thought I'd just make a couple signs in an attempt to get on TV. And apparently I was on TV a bunch last night with, I will show you, My signs that I brought.
They just put it up on the screen behind you. Screen.
Okay, yeah. Well, there's, I don't know which ones that they found.
That one.
Well, there's that one.
that's really good. I like
Felger
that one.
Place of Water Guns was on there. I had this one for you. Somebody sent this to me, Fred.
What's it say? Oh, you can't see Kitty Litter James Stewart.
And the great thing is that where my seat was if you're like looking at the, you know, if you're watching TV, the big stage where they all come out, the ring is in the middle of the floor, but then there's the big stage. It's over at the end, like where usually the band's like set up.
Yeah.
I was immediately to the left of the stage. So if you were looking at the stage, you couldn't miss me. I was as far up right next to where the announcers were.
Yeah.
So I had the You Can't See Kitty Litter James Stewart. I had a giant Where's Andy Wong sign.
I saw that.
Yeah. And then I had one that I don't think that a certain member liked too much. It just said,
Sarge is creepy.
And you know he saw that.
Oh, of course he did. Like, yeah. I'm getting like, hey, I would say the sign there, a little bit harassing. He harassed me a little bit with that sign there.
And he'll be joking, but he's not.
No, because when you guys were gone, we had full phone lines the entire time because people would go like, I want to talk about the Red Sox. And you take the call and they'd make fun of Sarge. You go, oh, yeah, how's that in your mother's basement?
Right.
You're start like yelling.
So I would stand like right up there, and I would just see like my mentions just fill up.
Yeah, that's
great. So like, and I would awkwardly stand like even during like the matches. When most people hold their signs, they just sit down and they watch the match. I just, for like four matches in a row, like it was sign number one, I would just stand there for the entire thing, and then I would sit down and sign number two, and then I did that. And then finally, I actually went up to, I ended up going up to the suites to see where Sarge, and I was bummed because I was like, I want to see Andy Wong.
You want to see the crew.
I want to see the crew, the Kowloon crew, the legendary Kowloon crew. And so I go up there, and the two main pieces are a no-show. Now, I understand why both of them weren't there. Jay Stu actually had something he had to, very important thing to do last night. And then there was Andy Wong, who the reason he wasn't there was my man Andy. He had to prepare. It's a big night at the Kowloon.
I have to be told. I was told last week by one Sarge that the way the schedule plays out for the wrestlers, they're like in the area for a little while. So Kowloon was going off last night.
Oh yeah. As a matter of fact, I got the invite.
Nice.
I got the invite.
Did you go?
Andy Wong. Someone tweeted him a photo of me with the "Where's Andy Wong" sign. And the Wong man contacted me and said, you want to come hang out with some wrestlers tonight? I'll get you in.
And?
And I did not go. Dude, it was going to be like 1 in the morning.
Well,
like,
Sarge,
you sleep anyway. Well, what difference does it make? I mean, listen.
But Sarge was telling me that's an honor. Because I'll tell you
why. Don't think I didn't feel like a little bit of warmness in my heart.
Because I'll tell you why. Sarge is not allowed to hang out with the wrestlers.
Oh, really?
Is that right? They have their own room.
So I'm higher up on the Kowloon crew than Sarge is?
Oh, that's a killer.
Well, it depends. It depends on certain things. Okay. Is that Sarge is allowed to enter the room. Okay, so Kowloon apparently is huge.
He's allowed to enter the room?
I'm not lying.
There are velvet ropes around
him. This is his own words.
If you've never been to Kowloon, it is the size of a Walmart. And when you walk in, I mean, it's all these different rooms. But you walk in and you're like, oh, wow, this place is pretty big. And then you realize you're looking at maybe 1/8 of it.
Yeah.
And then there's another room that's enormous. It's got a huge boat in the middle of it. Then there's another room that's like an event room. I mean, it just keeps going and going and going.
So apparently the wrestlers will get a room. And Sarge and the Kowloon crew will be like outside of the room,
looking in.
I'm not even positive they can look in. But okay. Then there's a moment where Sarge will be escorted into the room and be able to talk to the wrestlers for a brief amount of time, and then we'll leave the room.
Okay, all right.
So if Andy Wong was saying, "Do you want to hang out with the wrestlers? Like, do you just want to go in the room and like sit with them?"
No, I got the invite. I got the golden invite.
Like, and to my understanding, I don't know if anyone was here to hear this, but to my understanding, that is above Sarge in the hierarchy of what you're allowed to do.
For all of the years of Sarge, like, going to Kowloon and like, you know, kissing the ring of Andy Wong, do all that stuff, you're telling me that I've already jumped ahead him in the standings when it comes to the inner circle of the all
things
Kowloon.
No, listen, I can't tell you about the subtleties of what happens with the Wong man and how things are laid out, but I can tell you that, at least to my knowledge, and how you interpret hang out with the wrestlers, I'm interpreting it as dine with them.
Yeah, I would assume that's probably true.
Right, so I'm assuming that as well.
And a ton of them showed up because I saw the tweet early this morning of Andy Wong smiling with all of them. Like Dolph Ziggler was there. Oh, gosh, who are some of the other ones? I think Seth Rollins, one of the guys.
Oh,
which I didn't until last night know who he was, but apparently everyone loves Seth Rollins. So that's only the second wrestling event I've been to. The first one I went to was the grand opening of this new arena, and it was WCW, like back in the day.
Right.
Because remember, we had like every connection with the WCW. My wife interviewed to work at the WCW.
Right.
I mean, it was in town. And there was a thing where you took the chair home with you. Like if you sat on the floor, and we would get like front row seats, remember? Because all of them were friends of the radio station.
I never went to any of that stuff, but I remember Jimmy worked for them.
A guy we worked with like used to be on like WCW, used to travel the country. And so like I was offered front row seats to this, and I'm like, well, yeah, I'm not going to say no to this. And so I went, and that's the first one I've ever done. This was the second one, and it's hysterical. It's hysterical to go to one of these. And you know how like on TV, when the wrestler walks in the ring and you hear the voiceover guy saying, wow, it looks like he's really got a grudge to settle. And meanwhile, while they're doing this voiceover, the wrestler's just kind of walking through the ring. To see that without the voiceover, it's really horribly awkward. He's just standing in the ring, slowly sauntering for like a good gratuitous like 3 to 4 minutes, just slowly flexing and looking at the crowd. You're like, all right, this kind of got uncomfortable like maybe 3 minutes ago. Now I just kind of want to hide. Because this guy's like burning like something in all of our souls. Like, I can't hear what anyone's saying other than this dude just creepily staring at all of us.
All right, so who was in the box last night?
It was spread out over a couple boxes. Sarge had his own box. He had his own party crew. And that was
did
like,
Sarge pay for the box?
He must have. It was like him and his brother, who's a very nice guy, and like a bunch of their friends. And so I think Sarge kind of had his own thing going. And then in another booth was our own bankroll boy, Joe Murray,
okay,
was right down the hall. But all of them got boxes. No one's sitting in regular seats. They're high rolling it.
Where's all this money coming from?
Well, you know where it comes for Murray. It comes from the bankroll.
He's got the bankroll.
That's right.
I mean, why make the money if you're not going to... Hey, listen, you can't take it with you.
No, that's, yeah, that's right. You got to sit it on the things in life that you are obsessed with, and that's wrestling.
Because there's no way they both got boxes for free.
I don't think, no, I think that this is just what they spend their money on. I mean, you look at the belts that, you know, say what you will about Sarge and his belts.
$3,000 worth of, it's $3,000 worth of belts.
I mean, that's insane. That's insane.
You have to understand, I logged 15 hours with, or 4, 8, 12, 16 hours with the man. I learned a lot about Sarge. Yeah, he's got $3,000 worth of belts.
So that was fun last night.
Now, did he bring all the belts?
Okay, so I went up to the box and he goes, "Oh, right, let's get a picture here. Rich, hold the belt, man. I'm not holding the belt." He had two of the belts with him. And I don't know if the third one was being worn by someone else, but then again, you know, that's kind of like wearing a Metallica t-shirt to a Metallica show. Everyone there's got a belt. I mean, you walk in, it's like, I mean, they're not his age, but a lot of I mean, there's a lot of kids wearing belts there. And that's kind of cool, seeing like the dads bring their kids. And like, yeah, I'll bring Hank. This seems like it's kind of fun as hell.
Okay.
But, you know, yeah, I think that they wait for the 3 to 4 shows that come to the TD Garden, and they spend the majority of their extra income on doing it right and doing it big. That's their thing. That's the thing that they love, and
don't
that's what they spend
the
money on.
To WrestleMania, too.
Well, that's the other part. That's
travel,
part of it.
Wherever, Miami, New Orleans,
yeah,
wherever
like
they
all
went.
The, what is it? Discretionary income, whatever it is.
Throwaway.
That goes to wrestling. Although, I do think that, although I don't know if Sarge is in on this. I know that Jace Du is that Andy Wong, I believe, fits the bill for most of the
he
WrestleMania
does, and
stuff.
Yes, but just his, and I think he fits the bill for the boxes and stuff.
No box this time, though.
No, I know.
I think Sarge had to pay for this one on
and
his own.
How come Joe Murray and Sarge not in the same box?
That's an interesting
I mean, they're part
thing
of the,
there.
They're both that, part of the crew.
That's a good call. I didn't think about that.
There's a little dissent amongst crew members, possibly.
Yeah, splintering of, not good.
Might be.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
The Sarge's creepy side was just like, hey, yeah, a little bit of razz in there, I see.
He doesn't like it. He does not like it. I put something up. I told you guys this yesterday, but I put something up. I never look at I don't often look at the mentions on
Instagram.
Uh-huh. But it's much better than Twitter. But because I think you have to kind of be yourself.
Uh-huh.
And like I put something like I put my kid to bed on Friday night, and he was giving me a hard time. I said, Mile, please just go to sleep. I worked with Sarge all week, and then he got under the covers and went to sleep. And I put that on Instagram, and all of a sudden I look at the mentions, because I'm like, wow, there's like all these people talking.
Yeah.
And it's like Sarge going, oh, come on. It's all in good fun.
You're copied on all of them. It happens on Twitter. Like, if somebody tweets me and Sarge and say that he'll respond to all of them. By the way, the sign I think that got the best response, which I was kind of surprised by, was that you can't see kitty litter James Stewart. For some reason, people found that one, I think, to be the most...
it incorporates a wrestling thing. Yeah. All right, Rich, what happened last night? What are we going to talk
Red
about?
Red Sox continue to dominate, and there is some... Boy, it could be potentially bad news for the Celtics and Marcus Smart. There is finally some movement. We have some movement.
Miss something?
You know what that means.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Mankind became stupider.
Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, after having a temporary salami deprivation yesterday, it looks like the cold cuts are back.
See this guy, it looks like a better and better pickup, and the Red Sox grab the early lead 2-0.
Hey, is Dave O'Brien the guy that did the World Cup, like him and Gus Johnson? It's the same guy, right? Because I read article that was linked towards Deadspin about just how hated Dave O'Brien was.
Like 4 years ago?
During the World Cup.
I don't know for sure, but that rings true. I think you might be right.
Yeah, there was an article in the New York Times about how just people, and he got real defensive.
Dan's saying maybe 2006.
Okay, fair enough.
Two World Cups ago.
Yeah. But, like, there was an article, and he's super defensive. I guess people just hated him.
And, really? What could he have possibly done? Because he just seems like kind of a...
Because he only had, like, 3 months to learn everything about soccer.
Oh, well, that's kind of an unfortunate place to be put into, though. We get thrown in like that.
Right. And so, I guess he was terrible at it. And he was, like, using the wrong terms. And
That's the thing. Professional broadcaster. I mean, Dave O'Brien can do a lot. He's very talented. But in that specific specialty sport...
He said things like 1-0 instead of 1-0.
You're not supposed to say, like, header. One of the examples they put is, like, you're not supposed to say he hit it with his head or something like that. There's, like, a term for it. Regardless, I don't know. But it was, I'm like, this guy called the World Cup and now he's doing Red Sox games?
ESPN had the rights to World Cups ago. I bet you they just plugged him in.
Well, you know who? Our own Jack Edwards.
That's right. Jack Edwards was real big with the World Cup.
He was a big ESPN guy.
Yeah. I'd like to actually hear one of his calls.
Jack
the
Edwards?
World Cup.
I'm sure
it's got to be out there somewhere.
Tough to find.
I think soccer was like his thing at ESPN.
Well, I didn't realize that. I knew that. I mean, obviously, I've seen the videos of him back at ESPN back in the day. I didn't realize he was the soccer guy.
No, I know he did SportsCenter, but I think that he did all the soccer crap. I don't know.
Now, you haven't lived, however, until you've heard Mark Gorman do handball. That's when
that was great. Because
the thing about handball is nobody knows if he's lying or not with these terms. Because who knows handball?
Remember, we had him on, and he was describing what it was like to do handball, which is like passing around that line, and then some guy guns it at the goal.
Yeah, nobody knows the terms.
Yeah, there's not like it's not the most popular sport in the world. Right. I mean, there's not like no one's gonna go. I mean, there might be some guys that are like, hey, I play at the Y, and this is wrong, but
it's not the World Cup.
But the countries that do play take it really, really seriously. I mean,
it's
true. You dribble it like random times, and it's all the same thing. You just pass it around. There's a line you can't cross. You can't get next to the goaltender.
Let's see.
A bunch of 6'9 guys with like very long arms throwing it as hard as they can.
I want to dig up before the end of the show Jack Edwards doing soccer, Mike Gorman doing handball, and I want to hear Dave O'Brien. I would actually like to hear one of these clips. Did Deadspin have any links to any of the stuff that he did? We'll take a look.
It was a link from a Deadspin article the New York Times.
Okay, because that I actually wouldn't mind hearing. Well, that is Nesson right there. That's Dave O'Brien doing actual baseball play-by-play. And Steve Pierce delivers a first-inning two-run homer to set the tone of an eventual 5-0 shutout against the Rangers last night. Ever since Pierce was acquired by the Red Sox, he has been nails. He's been hitting .458 with 5 extra base hits in 8 games. But a guy who has been nails all year has been this guy. Fred, break out the deli meats.
Oh, you're going to cure that meat, oh boy. Look at the dead pig. Oh, let's dissect it.
I would kill to hear Dave O'Brien say, it's gone. Look at that dead pig.
Let's dissect it.
That'd be awesome.
Dissect the pig. Take out the chunks we want and throw the rest away.
It's like a science experiment. You dissect it. You don't
get at the bonfire and roast that sucker.
That's right. Well, that is a 3-run homer. That is the 7th win in a row for the Red Sox. Here is Steve Pierce afterwards.
Well, the transition is pretty easy. Since I've been in the AL East for such a long time that, I know all these guys. Now I'm just trying to get to know him personally, and this team has welcomed me with open arms. So, I love love showing up here with, and working with these guys.
Pronounced personally. Congratulations, Steve Pearson. For all you Zolaks who like to root against David Price, he delivered some bad news yesterday when asked about the possibility of opting out after this year. He said, quote, "I want to win. I want to win here, and I want to win now. We all know the amount of ability we have in this clubhouse. I'm focused on winning right now. I haven't thought about opting out." And that is the sound of Scott Zolak punching his steering wheel and yelling whatever the opposite of glow stick is.
I was talking to Fred about this before the show started. It's weird you bring that up because I came to a sudden realization at some point last night that David Price could single-handedly sink this team in the playoffs. He can't. Can we all agree in this room he can't pitch against the Yankees?
Well, track record. I mean, that's all you need. History in the playoffs, track record against the Yankees.
Throw the playoff, the bad playoff, all the bad playoff starts out. Just concentrate.
He can't pitch against the Yankees.
He can't pitch against the Yankees.
He's got the yips.
Yep. You're going to face the Yankees in the playoffs. It's going to happen. And if the season ended today, the Yankees are in the wild card game. They'll probably win that wild card game. And then you face the Red Sox in the best of seven series in the divisional round. Price will start twice in that series, lose both games, which forces you to win 4 of 5 against the Yankees. And if you do that, you're probably going to have to beat Luis Severino, who is the inside, has the inside track for the Cy Young's, probably going to start for the American League in the All-Star game. You're going to probably have to beat him once, maybe twice, in a 7-game series. I don't know, as good as the Red Sox offense is, I don't know if they could do that. David Price might single-handedly take you down before you get to the American League Championship.
Well, then you might as well just start the parade down in Dorchester of Scott Zolak with a tuba leading the charge.
Let me ask you this, though. Doesn't that logic, I mean,
well,
that,
sure, of course yes, it does. Of course
that's
does.
Crazy.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, it's a problem. It's a legitimate problem. Now, however, I would like to know, and maybe you know this, the context in which that question was asked, because that's kind of funny, to be quite honest. And I want to know who this reporter was, because just to go up to David Price on a day he's not pitching and go, "Hey, you can opt out." We're kind of like not really expecting you to be.
I read the same thing.
Rather have you not be around.
I don't remember who asked him and what the context was.
Because just to kind of randomly spring that upon David Price is kind of funny.
Hey, he talked to the media on an off day. That's a big win, right?
For everybody. If he was smart, he would leave.
Where else is he going to get that kind of money?
He's not going to get the kind of money that he gets here. But there's a point where if he's that miserable, and he is, he hates it here. He absolutely hates it. And again, he hasn't even been on the radar to a degree that he's seen nothing yet. I mean, if they finish with the best record in baseball and they lose in the first round to the Yankees and he blows it, then he's going to feel the wrath. I mean, so far, it's been just like these little blips in July.
And it will continue to be nothing until October. He has a free pass all season.
I know, and that's always been my point.
No one cares what he does until October.
That's always been my point with him, is that he has a free pass. And the idea that the media is getting to him now is ridiculous because he's not even a top five story. The Reds, no one is paying attention to the Reds. There might be paying attention to the Red Sox, but if you have the best record in baseball, you know, David Price and people hate him and stuff like that, but it's not this barrage of hate towards David Price. It's easily avoidable if you're him. Basically, don't listen to sports talk radio. I don't see a lot of negative stuff being put in the paper, and I mean, just don't listen to sports talk radio. That's all you got to do, and don't read your Twitter feed. And when's your Twitter feed as a famous person ever going to be super positive?
Does he tweet? Like I know he used to.
Yeah, I don't know if he does anymore, but he used to get all wound up about it.
Yeah.
Which I understand, but just if it's driving you that crazy, get off of it. And if you're that making that much money and you're that high profile, what do you think that people are going to be nice to you?
Yeah, he hasn't tweeted since mid-May.
Okay.
Okay, well, doesn't mean he's not checking it.
Yeah. All right, well, Rich, like you said, there is some news regarding Marcus Smart and a possible suitor.
Yep, last night there was some actual movement, so we might have an answer within the next 24 hours on the future of Marcus Smart.
But first, the headlines.
Toucher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich. Marcus Smart is a restricted free agent. He said he had felt hurt and this and that about the lack of progress on a new deal.
Yeah.
And now there is a new suitor.
Yeah, out of nowhere, things have all of a sudden started to heat up regarding Marcus. And yesterday, there was a report from A'Rod Blakely here on NBC Sports Boston that the Kings are poised to make Marcus an offer after striking out on Zach LaVine. They offered him 4 years and $78 million, and that's when the Bulls went, we'll pay that. Sacramento has nearly $20 million in cap room left, and it's starting to look like the club is about to close, and the Kings are going to go home with anyone before the ugly lights come on. It's just, we need to sign somebody.
Got to bring somebody home.
So Marcus Smart might end up lucking out on this. Now, this still gives the Celtics a chance to match any offer the Kings send his way, but then again, Sacramento is known for overpaying players to come play for their awful franchise. And from what A'Rod is hearing, the offer is in that $12 to $14 million
that would
Marcus Smart is expecting.
The highest paid player on the team by $2.5 million.
I mean, the team he may not start for.
Oh, without a doubt. And speaking of awful franchise, another strange factor in all this is that I was taking a look at the roster. Marcus Smart doesn't really make sense for the Kings. No. They've already got De'Aaron Fox, who they got him last year, who I believe they want to be the point guard of the future for them.
Buddy Hield is on this team.
Oh, they got like a ton of like these shooting guards, and they got a pretty good backup in Frank Mason. So, yeah, and you're right, Buddy Hield, and there's a bunch of other guys like that. So
Shumpert.
Shumpert on their team?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, despite reports indicating that there's some animosity between Marcus and the Celtics, they were sure palling around yesterday in Las Vegas. At one point, while Smart was watching the Celtics-Nuggets game, Danny Ainge reportedly fist-bumped Marcus and then later messed with a hat with a smile on his face. Ah, come here, you lug. We're not going to pay you anywhere near what you want. But then perpetually chill Brad Stevens, however, yesterday did speak on the Marcus Smart situation.
Marcus is, I think, pretty well aware of how I feel. And I saw him a couple days before free agency. He was in town for his camp. Saw him over at our new practice facility. You know, I've talked to him a bunch. I'm not involved in all the negotiation part of it and all the numbers part of it. And he knows that. And he also knows that we really want him back. So, you know, I know that our front office has worked hard to be communicative and go from there.
So, I mean, if it is the $12 to $14 million, Danny's not going to pay that, is he?
No. Not for a bench player.
12, maybe 14. Man, you're really pushing it.
See, that I agree with that. I think if it's closer to the 12, Danny would seriously consider that. But if you're talking 14, 15, you let him go.
And Sacramento might have to do that. As I said, they're running out of options. And they got a ton of money left to spend. And also the other thing, too, is the one thing that you can say that you could sell to your fans that you might have
if you're
a Kings fan. No. But the one justification, I guess, is a better way to phrase it, that you could have is that they were like, what were they, 28th in defense in the league? Like, they were awful. And you could say
that will not make a ripple. I agree, but I can't figure out. That won't make a ripple at all.
They're just such an awful organization nothing would surprise me signing anybody.
They have Marvin Bagley. They have Marvin Bagley's the centerpiece. You have De'Aaron Fox, is their number one pick from last year. Those are the two guys you sell. You can actually sell Zach LaVine. You know, guys, I think he won one of the slam dunk championships. He's a high flyer. I mean, his knee injury cut him short last year. But if you pay $20 million to Zach LaVine, while a bit exorbitant, you can sell a guy like that. You can put a guy like that on a poster. Marcus Smart is otherworldly defensively, but that's not something you put on a poster. Come see our great defense. That's not what sells tickets.
I think what's more than likely going to happen is you're going to find out that Marcus Smart is going to sign an offer that is almost identical to the one they offered him this year, which was allegedly $11 million a year
Celtics,
at 4 years.
I bet you anything Celtics match that.
That's what's going to happen, and I think that you're going to find that out within the next couple of days, that he is going to sign an extension, and he's going to be. And if that happens, great. If you're a Celtics fan, you should be elated. You get to keep Marcus Smart, and you get to keep him for pretty good money, decent money for Marcus Smart, at $11 million a year for 4 years, because he is important to this team, and we've learned that. What? And by the way, I don't think it's more possible to look like a potential bust than first-round draft pick Robert Williams has in the past 2 weeks. First, he slides down the draft boards because of the, quote, on- and off-the-court character issues. Then he misses his introductory phone call to the press. After that, he misses his plane to his first practice with the team. Then the Celtics assign him what is essentially a babysitter, an employee that will keep him on the straight and narrow whether he's in Boston or the Red Claws. Imagine how much that would suck if he just played for the Red Claws and you're this guy assigned to basically just hold his hand wherever he goes.
It reminds me of like when they gave Belushi that karate guy that followed him everywhere.
Yeah.
Just to keep him healthy?
Yeah, like Belushi during the filming of Blues Brothers, for instance, they were in the middle of nowhere, Illinois, and they can't find him, and it turns out he's asleep on somebody's couch. Just he walked into some random house and fell asleep on the couch. And they're like, oh, we better get you somebody.
Yeah, we need to have someone to keep an eye on you.
To keep your eye on you. And now, listen, Robert Williams, I highly doubt, is shooting speedballs. But nonetheless, it's never a good sign when right away you need to get someone to handle you. It's a parent. It's you're essentially a child. They don't, sure. They don't trust you to get on a plane. They don't trust you to show up to practice. They don't trust you to do anything.
You've already proven that. In less than 2 weeks that you've been a member of this team, you've proven that you can't be trusted. And then he missed two of the team's three games in Vegas because he bonked his knee with a guy. On top of that, apparently he was very winded for the few minutes that he did actually play.
Yeah, he fell in the draft for a reason.
He has.
Sure.
You read MassLive.com. Apparently, well,
okay, that's, okay. That's let's get to that. Because
that added on to all of this.
Now, and once again, with all the stuff I just mentioned, now there's a report from Mass Live at John Just Wallach that's reporting that Robert Williams has an artery condition in both of his legs. A source described it to them, the condition as being, quote, not too serious. It could, however, require a procedure if it were to degenerate down the line. It's called popliteal artery entrapment syndrome, otherwise known as PAES, P-A-E-S. It's a vascular disease that he's been dealing with, and it's because of where the muscles and tendons around his knee are positioned, they end up compressing the popliteal artery, the main one behind the knee, restricting blood flow to the lower leg. That can be a problem. It leads to cramping, calf pain during exercises. Now, the NBA, a lot of the NBA teams, including the Celtics, were aware of his condition at the time of the draft, as was Texas A&M, where, of course, he went to college. He's been playing with that condition for years. Now, reportedly, the Clippers doctors performed his pre-draft physical and then gave the results to the rest of the organizations because they requested it. The Celtics have also done their own physicals on him. Now, he's also been dealing with tendonitis in his left knee since last year, which, as he talked to reporters about, I mean, it's like, it's just one thing after the next.
They took a flyer on a guy with the 27.
No, and you know what? They can afford to do it.
Thank God they don't need this guy for much. I mean, there's one specific thing they need him for, rim protection, which would be really helpful, but they made the Eastern Conference Finals without that last year, and they got everybody back.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, this was he's falling. I'm sure they were aware of all this, and they were aware of his immaturity. And they said, you know what? He slid here. Who the hell else are we going to take?
Let's give it a try.
Value pick. Yeah, sure.
No.
Well, this is Brad Stevens was on the ESPN Summer League broadcast, and he was asked about Robert Williams being assigned a coach, a.k.a. babysitter.
Alex Barlow, one of your former players, is with Maine, and also now will be working with Robert Williams. What is going to be his charge?
Well, that's not unusual for us. So all of our assistant coaches are assigned between one and three players, and you know, it's to get with the players, determine what they want to improve on, determine what we think fits with how they will be used within our system so that they can increase or expedite their curve, especially when you're a young player. You know, we've really fortunate to have a great staff and a lot of options, and Alex is a really good coach. He's a really good young guy. He's totally eats, sleeps, and breathes it. I think that Robert will enjoy working with him, but everybody else will too. You know, it's not something where it'll just be one guy.
This is get him to the Greek, you know, where you have to like babysit a guy to make sure he goes to the right places.
It sounds like they're talking about two different things. He's like, yeah, I have a coach that's going to work with him on like understanding the game. No, you don't. You have a guy that's going to make sure that he gets where he has to go.
You're going to stand outside of his door. You're going to knock on it if he's not awake by a certain amount of time. You're going to drive him to the arena.
He's the anti-bird.
In Portland, yes, he is the anti-bird.
Yeah. Yes.
So this guy is...
I wish I had an assistant to wake me up and drive me places.
Can you imagine that your job was dependent on some guy just whether or not he's going to get his S together on any given day? Like, if he... Because apparently he's got potential. We know this. Like, if he played up to his maximum potential, the guy might be somebody who you may see play a few minutes this year in Boston. But because he won't be able to get his crap together, he's going to be stuck in Portland sitting in the AmeriSuites, just knocking on this guy's door every morning saying, all right, time to go.
Well, maybe when they take a little bit of the, if he's in Maine, maybe they give him a little bit of space. Maybe it's not as important anymore.
They just kind of let him kind of go off the rails?
Well, if he goes off the rails, he goes off the rails. But, I mean, if he can't figure out how to get it together in Maine, where the hell do the Red Claws play?
Portland. Right. It's right downtown.
Well, I mean, Portland's nice and all, but it doesn't seem like it's a city that you can get lost in.
No, it's not that big. Wonderful town. Not big.
It's nice for a weekend. I mean, I wouldn't want to live there.
Miles Bridges last night. Saw Miles Bridges play for Charlotte against the Celtics.
How was he? Very disappointing his sophomore year.
Pretty good. I think he scored 20 points. Game high. for Charlotte.
Very disappointing.
Desperately needs
year.
His skill set.
Well, I'll tell you this. Is the Sports Hub American Red Cross Drive is Saturday, July 14th. That's this Saturday. Donate from 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at the Best Western Woburn. The first 80 donors will receive a coupon for a free appetizer from Waxy O'Connor's. Walk-ins welcome or schedule an appointment at redcrossblood.org. The Sports of American Red Cross Blood Drive Saturday from 10 to 3:30 at the Best Western Woburn. Rich, what else do we got?
Well, if you are a big fan of Rob Gronkowski being on the Patriots, he might not be a guarantee. According to Greg Bedard, there are still questions as to whether or not he is available. We will get to some of those details in just a
moment. Okay, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on with Mr. Gronkowski?
Kind of an interesting article that Craig Bedard wrote for the Boston Sports Journal. You know, you've got the New England Patriots training camp less than 3 weeks away. And according to Bedard, there's executives around the NFL that are still keeping a close eye on what's been going on with the Patriots and Gronk. Still, he does not have a reworked contract, which we thought was going to happen a while back.
Yeah.
His situation is giving other teams hope that means he's still available for potential trade or will be made available in the future. Now, with Greg Bedard's article, he said a number of sources gave varying thoughts on his contract and whether he could still be on the block. That's despite there was that public commitment to playing. Remember, Gronkowski posted that thing and said, I'm going to be here in 2018, and posted that thing on his social media accounts. According to one AFC personnel executive, they said, where's the restructure of his contract? Until that's done, I still think he's available. I wouldn't be surprised if Belichick is going to test Gronk's buy-in with the contract. Instead, other execs echoed the sentiment that Bill Belichick is testing Gronkowski's patience, but one still believes that the two sides eventually will come to an agreement on a new deal. They said it's important to note that this is what the other teams believe about Gronkowski's availability. There's nothing from the Patriots or Gronk that suggests that he's actually available or anytime soon.
Why would they test him like that? What has he ever done in his career aside from speaking at that motorcycle rally and skipping OTAs
this entire offseason?
He showed up when he had to show up, and you know, he has done nothing over the course of his career to make you think that he's gonna, I mean, he's injury prone.
Oh, I would say that the comments he made immediately after the Super Bowl would make you think that way, where he said, you know, are you retiring? He goes, well, who told you that? I'm not going to make any commitments. I mean,
but
he was throwing that out there for a while.
But if he plays, he plays. I mean, if he retires, I mean, you can sign him to a deal, and if he retires, you don't have to pay him. So I don't really know why you would test his resolve. I mean, if he's threatening to retire, and if he retires, you're off the hook. So I don't know why I'd be screwing around with him right now.
It is a weird place that they're at, and I don't know. And that's weird, because when this article came out, you forget about all that. I mean, we were all hot and heavy about this story about a month ago, and it just kind of got forgotten. And now you're like, yeah, they haven't gotten his restructure that we all thought was going to happen. That's kind of concerning.
Is he waiting to see what Gronk looks like during training camp and whether or not he's all in? Or I agree with Rich. The retirement talk makes sense as the only reason why the Patriots would withhold this far.
Okay, well, Roethlisberger talks about retiring every year.
It's different.
A lot of players do. I don't understand how it's different.
It's different because this is Belichick, and it's also because of the way he's been acting and the whole thing about going to the WWE.
But if he goes to the WWE, you don't have to pay him.
Maybe it's the signing bonus. I think that's incredibly petty, but maybe it's the signing bonus.
Okay. I mean,
maybe. Yeah, I mean, maybe it is. All I know is that in the meantime,
I wouldn't be screwing around with that. Also, though, I wouldn't give up a ton for him anyway if I'm another team. Because unless I'm on the brink of a Super Bowl.
And that would make a trade really difficult.
Yes.
Because you can't trade Gronk for anything less than a good first-round draft pick. You can't trade him for pick 31. Or you can't trade him to San Francisco knowing full well that they're going to be much better this year than they were last year. And you're going to wind up with a pick in the mid-teens.
If they trade him, just think of how bad things already... I mean, not bad. Just think of the talk of how there's already a rift right now in Foxborough with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and everything. You get rid of his best weapon, especially with Julian Edelman out for four games.
Yeah.
You think that's going to make situations any better?
We got a glimpse when both guys were hurt that one year near the end of the season what the offense looked like without both of them.
Yeah.
It's not pretty.
That is.
I don't know why you're screwing around with them.
I don't know either. I've been saying that since day one.
If you're the Patriots, he's under contract. I mean, that's the way they run this organization. You're under contract. We expect you to show up.
But
I mean, that hasn't changed.
But he's worth it.
Of course, he is the best tight end in NFL history. He deserves a raise. There are guys that aren't even close to his ability that are making more than he is.
By the way, if you've been wondering, however, how he's been spending his offseason, I saw this tweet yesterday from Rob Gronkowski's account that said, "No one ever said tagging a massive tiger shark would be easy. Watch us both win on hashtag Shark Week starting July 22nd on Discovery. Hashtag Tiger Gronk, hashtag Save Sharks." And there's a picture of him swimming beside a tiger shark with a tag in the side of it. So is this just going to be called Gronk Tag Shark?
It's just going to be called Basic Cable Gronk.
I mean, listen, anything's going to be better than Phelps versus Shark from last year.
No, he's doing the environment well, good. He's tagging the sharks so they can test their migratory patterns and figure out just what's going on.
I guess that's what he's all about.
That's right. He just jumps in the water and has like a dart and he just jams it in there and then gets out of the way. Nothing sounds more entertaining.
Is there a promo for this? I need to check discovery.com and see if there's any sort of commercial for it. It's probably just him going, whoa.
Yeah.
And then a shark going by. Oh.
Just like, whoa. Look at that thing's teeth. It's big. Sharks. Pay me.
As I said, if they're looking to get some sort of buzz, anything's better. Do you remember how awful the backlash they got because of that Phelps versus Shark? Because it ended up just being like a CGI shark.
Yes, it was
that he
terrible.
Ended up like racing.
Yes, it was awful. And they should have just let a shark loose, as I had said before.
It's just him versus a shark, and it like a he just punches the shark.
No, the shark. you separate him with plexiglass.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then you have a shark in salt water.
Because what would happen was you'd probably have a chance that the shark would just kind of hang out while Michael Phelps like, started swimming.
Well, then there's ways you can get a shark to go. You throw like chum in the water at the other end of the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or you could be distracted by Phelps in the side of the, like through the glass.
I don't think they're interested in the humans as much as they are the chum. You put a little chum in there.
It's the blood they're after.
Yeah. And then you have Phelps, and then you have them take off at the same time. You have it like a bullfight. You have the shark all, jammed up in there in a pen. And then you drop the chum, and then you open the pen, and Phelps takes off, and the shark takes off, and there you go.
See, I want to see the real Lochte versus shark. In a math contest.
I'd like to see Lochte in the belly of a shark.
I just want to see the two of them like taking the SATs. Who would win? Lochte versus shark.
I got 10 on the shark.